deigned to pay attention to anything but herself. She shifted her gaze, and in her heavily lashed blue eyes, he saw a quick, familiar reaction, a mangle of pity and something akin to fascinated repugnance. Yeah, he hated crowds. To her credit, she quickly hid her response and instead offered a stiff smile.
Dylan Kane, I didn't see you there.
He gave her a polite smile in return. Completely out of unwarranted malevolence, he lifted what remained of his left arm in a caricature of a wave.
Most of me, anyway.
She swallowed and blinked, but didn't lose that stiff smile. If anything, it seemed to beam unnaturally, like a blinking string of Christmas lights.
Nice to see you again, she said.
He couldn't remember ever having a conversation with the woman in his life. If he had, he certainly would have recalled that husky voice that thrummed through him, as rich and heady as his Johnny Walker.
Same,
he said, which wasn't completely a lie. He did enjoy that little strip of bare skin and a pair of tight jeans.
Are you visiting your family for the holidays?
She asked, polite conversation apparently drilled into her along with proper posture and perfect accessory coordination, even when she was slightly drunk.
Nope.
He took a sip of his whiskey.
I moved back in the spring. I've got a place up Snowflake Canyon.
Oh, I hadn't heard.
She focused on a point somewhere just above his right ear, though he noticed her gaze flicking briefly, almost against her will, to the eye patch that concealed a web of scar tissue before she jerked it away. He fought the urge to check his watch again, or, to hell with Jamie, toss a bill on the bar for his tab and take off. Though they certainly weren't society-conscious people like the Beaumonts, Dermot and Margaret Kane had drilled proper manners in him, too. Every once in a while, he even used them.
Don't think I've seen you around town since I've been back. Where are you living these days?
Her mouth tightened, and he noticed her lipstick had smeared ever so slightly on her lower lip.
Until 3 days ago, I was living in a beautiful fifth-floor flat in Le Marais, in Paris.
Ooh la la, Le Marais. Like that was supposed to mean anything to him.
Somebody should really do something about that music,
she complained to Pat before Dylan could answer.
Why would you put so many freaking versions of the same song on the jukebox?
The bartender looked frazzled as he pulled another beer from the tap.
I had to spring for that stupid digital jukebox. Worst business decision of my life. It's completely ruined the place. It's like karaoke every night. Here's a little secret you might not know. We have a crapload of people in Hope's Crossing with lousy taste in music.
You could always take it out, Dylan suggested.
Believe me, I'm tempted every night, but I paid a fortune for the thing. Usually I just end up forking over some of my tips and picking my own damn songs.
He finally set a pink mojito in front of Genevieve. She picked it up and took a healthy sip.
Thank you,
she said, her sexy voice incongruously prim, then gave Dylan that polite, empty smile.
Excuse me.
He watched her head in the direction of the gleaming jukebox, wondering what sort of music she would pick.
Probably something artsy and annoying. It better not be anything with an accordion.
He checked his watch, which he really hated wearing on his right arm after a lifetime of it on the left. Jamie was now 15 minutes late. That was about his limit. Just as he was reaching into his pocket for his wallet, his phone buzzed with an incoming text. As he expected, it was from Jamie, crisp and succinct.
Sorry, got held up. On my way. Stay there.
His just older brother knew him well. Jamie must have guessed that after all these months of solitude, the jostling crowd and discordant voices at the Speckled Lizard would be driving him crazy. He typed a quick response with one thumb, a pain in the ass, but not as bad as finger-pecking an email.
You've got 5.
He meant it. If Jamie wasn't here by then, his brother could drive up to Snowflake Canyon to share a beer for his last night in town before returning to his base. The digital jukebox Pat hated switched to Jingle Bell Rock, a song he disliked even more than The Little Drummer Boy.
Sorry,
the bartender said as he passed by on his way to hand a couple of fruity-looking drinks to a tourist pair a few